Welcome to the Citygate Church podcast. Today's message was recorded at our live Sunday services, and we hope that it encourages you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference.
We're carrying on today with our series where we're talking about Jesus is exalted, and this is the theme of the year. And we're in right now, arise and build. Can we all say that? Arise and build. That's corporately and personally. And, you know, as we go more and more into this year, the more I see the significance of 2024. I haven't felt like this. I've always had a word for the year, and I've known it's going to be great. But I just sense there is a weight on this year. There is a significance about 2024. And that's great because we're in the kingdom for such a time as this. We're the ones who are going to be unshakable. We're the ones who are going to just win through. Run and not grow weary. Walk and not grow faint. Mount up with wings as an eagle. And in that, somebody was talking to me about that. I got a phone call this week just about this verse, and I just thought, yeah, great. This is where we are. You know, the Bible says those who wait on the Lord. This is a year where we're Jesus-focused. We are Jesus-focused. I know we've always been Jesus-focused, but there are times and seasons. So we're Jesus-focused this year. And he will be seen to be exalted. He's already exalted. But he will be seen to be exalted because the world needs to see something more than what they're looking at. They need to. Some Christians need to see more than they're looking at. And that's a little bit about what today's about. We're going to read our scripture again that we've just been reading from Nehemiah chapter 2. And it says, I told them of the hand of my God which had been good upon me. Let's be declaring that out every day. The hand of God is good upon me today. And also the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Can we all say that? Let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. They didn't just talk about it. They put their hands to it. We're a word church, however you want to interpret that. We believe in the word of God. We believe that what you say you have. We believe that your words have the power of life and death in them. We believe that our words steer our life, the ship. We believe that words that are set on fire by hell cause forest fires that we sometimes don't even know where they came from, and you can trace it back to a word you spoke. Yeah? We absolutely believe that out the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. We absolutely believe that good fruit comes from the good treasure when good words are spoken. So words are really important, but words are not everything. Words and actions go hand in hand. Words and actions, faith and works. So these people said, let's rise up and build, but then they got up and built. They put their hands to the good work. So the enemy heard of it, they laughed them and despised them. And said, what's this thing that you're doing? You're going to rebel against the king. We covered this last week. Come on, we're not going in the same direction as the world. We are going opposite, running a different direction. The world's doing that, we do that. Not just out of wanting to be rebellious, that's not it. But I've been doing this a long time, and so have a lot of you. You know that the kingdom and the world have no cohesion whatsoever. We shine in the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. We don't become hermit-like and reclusive and hide away. No, we go right into the middle of it and shine. That's what we do. Are you going to rebel against the king? And I think there's going to be more and more force to try to get the Church of Jesus Christ to comply with the spirit of the world. And we will not. We just will not. If the Bible says forgive, that's what we're going to do. If the Bible says give, then that's what we're going to do. If the Bible says serve, then that's what we're going to do. Even if, and it's always been unfashionable in the world, but even if it becomes more unfashionable to love people, we're just going to love them. And when the world says, no, there has to be division, because that's what the world pushes for. There has to be division. And we're just going to say, no, we're just going to love everyone. We're going to have compassion on everybody. Doesn't mean to say that we like what's going on, or we agree, or condone, or champion, but the world can't get a hold of this where they say, but if you don't agree with me, you hate me. No, I love you. Hello? We love you. And so we're just going to do it God's way, the kingdom way. So I answered and I said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. This is so good. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you, devil, in our life, have no heritage, no inheritance, no right, no memorial in Jerusalem, or in your family, or in your business, or in City Gate Church. Amen? So today we're carrying on with arise and build, and we've covered the fact that we're born to build, really. We've got something on the inside that says, I want to leave something behind that's going to last. We've understood that if you're going to build, there's a momentum. There's a movement. These guys, they said it and they started to work. And you can read all sorts of scriptures about people working hard for the things that God has got for them. So there's a momentum, there's something that says, I'm actually going to put my energy into this. And I would always ask us, what are we putting our energy into? Because some things are going to drain your energy, and if you put your energy into the things that God has for you, he will refresh. So you don't burn out, grow weary, and all the rest of it. We wait on God, we get refreshed, and we run again. So we started to look last time at the fact that we move upwards. There's an upwards. We're going up the mountain. We're going into the higher place in our thinking. Do you remember this? Yeah. We're going higher. It says in Haggai where it says, consider your ways, go up the mountains, get hold of something from God, because that's where your building materials come from. Get your stuff from God. Don't rely upon just what you can do by yourself. Let's go into the high place and get hold of what we need from the presence and the person of God. Then those things, they're just fantastic. I mean, if you read the book of Haggai, it says they got cedar wood from up there. Smelt wonderful and didn't rot. When you get things from God, there'll be a fragrance about your life. You're going to smell good. Have you ever been around people and it's like, you need a shower? And I don't mean in the natural. I don't mean in the natural. It's like you need to get washed again. You need to come to Jesus again because I can smell criticism all over you. I can smell unforgiveness on your life. I can smell, that sort of attitude thing. Come on, the blood of Jesus and the water of the Word of God will wash your life and cleanse you so you can be a sweet smelling aroma. And to be something that doesn't rot away. We've just had a fig tree. I texted Rob. I don't know if he's here. He was here earlier. And I said, Rob, I need your chainsaw. I didn't put it like that. I said, Rob, I seem to remember I thought I was right, I seem to remember you got a chainsaw. And he said, yeah. I thought, proper bloke. Chainsaws and axes and hammers and stuff for the garden, come on. And so I went round and he said, well, why'd you need it? I said, because we had a lovely fig tree in our garden. Some of you remember the fig tree just next to the house, actually just down the side, but for some reason it died. We don't know why it died. And then we realized the base was rotten. And even though it all looked fantastic, you just did that and the whole bottom moved. And then one day I just sort of went out there and it was like, and I need to chop this thing up. Somebody said to me today, perhaps it was prophetic, when the fig tree falls over. I don't know, we'll see. There's a lot about fig trees in the Bible. And I need to chop this thing up, but you see, cedar wood doesn't rot. Very powerful wood. Really sad when this fig tree looked so wonderful. And then it started to die. The rot set in a long time before it fell over. Yeah. We'll pick up on that next week. There's a thought. So we move upwards, but we move forwards. Today I want to talk on builders move forwards. We move forwards. And I'm going to read just a couple of scriptures here. Haggai chapter 2. Speak now to Zerubbabel. And that means descendant of the person who built the Tower of Babel. That's really what that means. So you got this in your blood. You're a builder at heart. Now, Babel was something that was in man's efforts. We understand all that. But they had a building mentality. And God said, I've got to confound their speech, because whatever they build is going to be possible. In fact, whatever they put their hand to is going to be possible when they know how to build in unity. Wow. Incredible people back then. It said the whole earth had one language. It actually says in the Hebrew, one lip. It was like one mouth moving. Oh, for the day, the body of Christ is like one mouth. And it said they had asphalt to stick the bricks together. I love being a sticky brick. Anybody else want to be a sticky brick? Sticking together in the house of God? Anyway, that's the Tower of Babel. So this guy had it in his bones. He was the governor. Speak now to the governor. Speak now to the high priest. And speak now to everybody. You see, when God is talking about what to build, he wants to talk to everybody. It's not just the leader's responsibility. It's not just the steward's responsibility or the kid's church. This is all of our responsibility to build something. He says, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? This is when the temple had really just been destroyed. Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Like, reality check. Is this not in your sight as nothing in comparison as to what it was? Yet now be strong. I'm so glad he comes straight back in with a word of strengthening and encouragement. He didn't just leave them, look, it's nothing like what it should be. He says, but be strong. And be alert. And be courageous, O Zerubbabel. And be strong. And be alert. And be courageous, high priest. And be strong. And be alert. And be courageous, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work. Then we know the passage of scripture a bit further down. I don't think they'll have it on the screen. I've sort of added it in this morning. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. The glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place of the greater temple, I will give shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. There is a wholeness in something that is stone upon stone and built in the pattern of God, for the glory of God, in the way of God, there is a wholeness that lives in that place. And now, in verse 15 of chapter 2, he says this, and it's almost at the end of the book of Haggai. And now carefully consider from this day forwards. So God did a lot of speaking and prophesying, and then he said, but now from this day forwards. A few verses later, verse 18, now consider now from this day forwards, I will bless you. So there's so many things about how we move forwards. If we're going to build, we're going to move forwards. You don't ever, ever build something for what was. You build something for what will be. You don't even just establish something and you build the footings and you build the walls and you put it together for just what you got today. You build with the future in mind. You build for what's coming. You build for what's coming down the road. You build for what might be. You build for what could be, and you build for what will be. So let's just think about this today. When it's so easy to say what I see in my life is nothing like what it was. What the heck has gone on? It's so easy to say what I'm in today is not what God showed me it will be. And as a believer, we live in this sort of tension. We are prophetic people. So we have vision. And that means there's a danger of always living in a place of frustration or discouragement. Because I don't know about you, I don't live in today what I see. Now that's a good thing. Because it means I've got to grow. I need to get hold of God more. I need more wood, whatever it is. If everything I'm in today is what I've always just believed and expected, then actually I've lost my vision. You with me today?
Yeah.
And we're a people of vision. I don't just mean here in City Gate Church. God has created us to be people who look forwards. You see, the things you see today may be real, but it's not going to take you into what is more glorious if all we do is look at what is round our feet. If all we do is look around what isn't working, or if all we do is we look at what didn't work or what happened in the past. And I love in the book of Haggai there that it says from this day forwards. And I just believe God wants us to have a from this day forwards mentality in our life. Yes. Not a from this day backwards. Very sad thing to live in what happened in the past. I remember, I get around some pastors, do you remember the outpouring in 93? Yeah, but a heck of a lot's happened since then. I was part of what happened around the world in 1993. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and it carried on for about 10 years, and the most incredible things. We'll get into that, but you know, people called it for a little bit the Toronto outpouring, then we had the Pensacola revival. All sorts of things were happening in the body of Christ. But hey, I'm not here today thinking back to the glory days. Yeah. Yep. Amen. Amen. It's very sad when people think, oh, wouldn't it be great to be in the days of John Wesley? No, I prefer to be alive today. Absolutely, I would. Because there's a now word from God. There's a now move of the Holy Spirit. But there's also from this day forwards, which is where we're running. When you run, I'm not a runner. Some people in this place, we got a running small group. It's great, and they run. They're not running around like this. You with me? There's a great Monty Python clip. Oh, it's hilarious. And you know Monty Python, just some of the funniest stuff. And it's the Olympics, the crazy Olympics. I don't know what it is. It says, and we got the 100-meter sprint for those who have no sense of direction. And the gun goes off and they all run in different directions. It's hilarious. It's absolutely brilliant. Running all over the place. It's supposed to be running down the line. No sense of direction. Some people have got no sense of the future. Some people have got no sense of where they're going. It's like they're just running around like this. They're busy. Busy. Busy people. And you think, well, that's the direction. You're running around doing everything. The term headless chicken comes to mind. Running around all over the place, putting energy into so much stuff. But God says, come on, from this day forwards, not this day sideways, not this day backwards, this day forwards. Because there's something in God, there's something in the heart of man that says, let's run this race and let's run forwards. Excuse me. It would have been very easy for them to look around at the burned gates and the burned walls. And they did, they had a look. But it only stirred something that says, let's move forwards. Let's move forwards. Let's not allow discouragement, frustration, which are the two greatest enemies for any visionary. The things you've got to nail, you've got to overcome, you've got to address, you've got to be bigger than discouragement and frustration. Because those are the two things that the enemy throws. In fact, it even says in Ezra, other passages, Nehemiah, the enemy hired people, employed people to discourage and frustrate. Make sure you're not employed by the enemy to discourage and frustrate someone. Are you getting this? I'm just being real. No, you're being employed to stop somebody in their vision. But I'm just telling it as it is, Pastor Jay. I don't want to hear it as it is. I want to hear it where we're going.
Yes.
Hello? But what we're in doesn't often look like what God had promised or what he wants to rebuild. So what God does is, because he said it'll be more glorious. It's very hard to see more glorious if you just want what it was in its former glory days. Because then that's your plumb line. No, the plumb line is the word of God of where we're going, what we're doing. So what God does is he puts his prophetic word into the picture. There's a power in prophecy. Such a power in prophecy. Now, we don't elevate prophecy over the written word of God ever, ever, ever. The word of God is there as the truth of who God is and how God does things and what God wants to do. But God speaks. We don't just read. Speaks into our hearts, number one, from the word of God, first and foremost, without question. But it's very interesting that in Ezra, the people started to build according to the word of God, the written word of God, but then it all crashed and burned for about 18 years until the prophet spoke, and then it says they prospered as they, it says they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah. Something came alive in what they were listening to. And the strength of a prophetic word in your heart is God stirring up on the inside of you where you're going and why you're going there often. And we can easily just get into our traditional rut or into our, this is just how we do it, and God wants his word to come alive again. Because when his word speaks into our heart, it gives us fresh vision. Prophets are really all about vision. There's other things in the Old Testament correction and whatever else. We get that, of course we do. But prophets, they give the big picture. They give a sense of purpose, a sense of direction. They seem to be able to gather people together and say, let's all go in this direction. Very powerful thing. They rose up and they built in Ezra chapter 5. Same passages of scripture really about what's going on and the season they were in. They rose up and they built because the prophets of God were with them, helping them. What a powerful passage. When you got a sense of prophetic direction in your life, a sense of prophetic, this is purpose, this is why, this is where, this is when. It means there is a success and a prospering about what you're building. It does something so powerful on the inside. So I want to ask a question here today, and I suppose I'm speaking this out on so many levels, whether it's family, whether it's personal finances, whether it's personal health, whether it's the health of your marriage, whether it's your children's lives, whether it's the church. Can you see what you're building? Can you see where you're going? Can you see what God wants you to build? Can you see the big picture? Can you just see around your feet? It's all burnt up. Or can you see where God is taking you? You see, as we look forwards, we can all get into all the scriptures about running with a vision and I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. So many scriptures we could get into about vision, but today, really it's about let's build something and let's move forwards. Let's move forwards. Let's move a step forward today than where we were yesterday. Let's move a year forward this year than where we were last year. Let's not just keep running around those with no sense of direction. Let's not be, but the walls are burned. I mean, what a mess. Yeah, but let's rebuild them. Three things. Moving forwards will take strength. He said three times in our passage today, so now therefore be strong, be alert, be courageous. Do you remember that? Three times he said it to the governor, to the high priest, and then to everybody. Be strong and build. Moving forwards takes strength. Let the weak say, I am strong. We know the joy of the Lord is our strength. Each one of these could be a sermon on its own. What we see in the natural so often does not look like what we've been promised, so we need to be strong. What we see in the natural is still just on the planning stage, so we need to be strong. I don't know if you've ever built an extension or if you've ever built a house or if you've ever built anything. When you set off, it's like, we're going to see this through. And there's a period of time in whether it's a marriage, whether it's having children, start like this, and then you go down that like this. I didn't think my kids would be like that at 2 years old. Well, can I just say they don't have to be? But whatever happens, be strong. Whatever goes on, be strong. I expected the business to go from this, and I got the word of God that we would prosper and be in five nations, and now we're even struggling in one. Yeah, but it ain't over till it's over. Hello? I don't know who that's for. Be strong. Because the opportunity and the pressure to quit can be overwhelming. Be strong. Take that as a word from God today. Be strong. But I can't see my marriage working. Be strong. But my kids, be strong. But the finances are not where they should be. Be strong. Be strong. But I took the exams and I failed them. Be strong. Be strong. God said to Joshua 9 times, either directly as a prophetic word or through a prayer of somebody else, be strong. Be strong. You're going into the land. Be strong. You're going to kill all the enemies. Be strong. You're going to divide as an inheritance. Be strong. You're taking over from Moses. Be strong. Strength on the inside that we only get from God. Second thing that we need to do. If we're going to move forwards and if we're going to build, moving forwards takes awareness. Awareness. Again, be strong, be alert. Have your eyes open. Don't have your head in the sand. Bible says if you're going to, you know, for those who want to, Luke 14, if anyone's going to build a tower, he's got to know that he's going to finish it. Be aware. Be alert. How do we do this? Well, we get our strength from joy, but we get our awareness from our intimacy and our relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's the still small voice. Walk there. Do this. Address that. You need to tweak this. You need to tweak that. Don't lose sight of the original design God's given you. You know, as you go through building, and some things take years to build, as you go through, it's very easy. Somebody, I heard this analogy the other day, somebody, he's a true story, a pastor of a church, and they were building a new church, and the builders were in, it was like a country church made of wood and all the rest of it. And he said, I really want to get involved, I want to hammer things and nail things and hit things and saw things and glue things and whatever. And so they said, okay, we need 70, I think it was 70 lengths of wood, 8 foot long. So he got the first one, 8 foot long, and he sawed it, and then he got that one and he put it on the next one, did a line, put the first one aside, sawed it, took that one, put it on the next one, drew a line, sawed it, that one 70 times. The last piece of wood was over a foot longer than the first piece of wood. Why? Because he lost sight of 8 foot. And he just compared, 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 compared. 70 times at 2 millimeters a time. Let's be aware of what God has said to us and not lose it over time. Let's be aware of the original plan of God. Now, we've all got to be flexible as we move forwards. We've got to be flexible. We've got to be those who say, okay, perhaps the detail needs to change, but the building's not changing. Yeah. Are you with me? Yes. Some people are not, no, we're only doing it this way. And it's like, no, you need to be flexible. You need to be adaptable because life is never like we expect. Is this all right today? Are we getting anything out of this as we move forwards? We need to be adaptable. We need to be flexible. But you never compromise your vision and where you're going. Even though there may be a few different journeys to get there, let's be aware of how the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding as we move forwards. And finally today, moving forwards will take courage. Will take courage. We get our courage from faith. We get our confidence from faith. Confidence is confide with faith. Have a confidence from God. We get a strength from the joy of the Lord. We get awareness from the person and our intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And we get courage from faith. And we need courage. If you're going to face your marriage, which everyone says is over, and say, no, I'm going to have courage to rebuild this. Courage to go again. You know, if the business is hitting the wall, sometimes it's going to take courage to get up and go again. Get up and go again. We always need strength. It's just strength all the way through and awareness all the way through. But there are moments of courage where it's like, I'm stepping out. I'm taking the risk. I'm going for it. I'm going to say what I need to say. I'm going to give what I need to give. I'm going to do what I need to do. And it's that, here we go. Have you ever been there? I've been there. Different things for different people. I was in Earl's Court 1 with 15,000 people as a 26-year-old. Hadn't been saved long, and I was sitting over with the guys who were doing the crusade, and everyone was there because of the man on my right. And he turned around to me and he said, you're doing the offering. I had 2 minutes to get my head together. That's fine, yeah, let's do this. Let's do this. But it takes courage. You know, we can only give examples from our own lives. I planted the church, took courage. You believe in people, takes courage. You do what needs to be done, it takes courage. You do something that looks crazy in the natural, but it takes courage. You step out the boat when you could sink. But Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come. Takes courage. 9 times God said to Joshua, be strong and be courageous. And be courageous. And be courageous. We're not talking about personality. Some people have a courageous personality and some people are more conservative. Or more restrictive. No, we're talking about something that God gives you when you know the Word of God for your life. When you know what God has said, you can stand up and face the giants. I've killed a lion. I've killed a bear. Come on, this uncircumcised Philistine is going to fall like one of them. I'm going to take your head off and feed it to the birds, devil. Takes courage. Can we all say, take strength? Takes awareness. Takes courage. From this day forwards, I will bless you. What day was that? It was a day of being strong, being alert, and being courageous. Let's all stand to our feet today. I hope you got something out of that. Can we give God some praise right now? Is that okay? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just stand in the presence of God and draw on Him today, shall we? Father, we thank you today that you are a God of strength. You're a God of intimacy who speaks and we hear your voice. You've given us a hearing heart. And you're a God who puts strength and courage on the inside of us. And Lord, for those here today online who, Lord, are at the point of giving up, we thank you, God, for renewing strength today. Lord, for those who don't know what to do, you give wisdom. Still small voice means everything. One word from God can change everything. And Lord, for those who know what we need to do, but it's like, wow. But the walls are so thick. But the mountain is so high. But the giant is undefeatable. Thank you, God, right now for your courage imparted into our lives today. God, we receive it today. Come on, can we just receive that? Whatever we need to receive today. Strength, awareness, courage. Lord, we receive it into our lives in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, because you said arise and build, and we will arise and build. Even if it looks all burned around our feet, we will arise and build. Even if it's what we see today is nothing compared to what we should be in, we choose to arise and build. But Lord, we don't look backwards, we look forwards to the glorious house, the greater glory, incredible days in our future. Life, what an amazing kingdom. What an amazing relationship with you. We lay hold of it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Can we give God some praise today? And you know, as we close today's service, everything I've said today is not about just being strong or being great. It's about relationship with Jesus Christ. Christ in us, our hope of glory, the Bible says. Through him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Friend, I want to ask you today, are you in family relationship with Almighty God? Do you know him as your Father? The prayer that we teach straight out of the Bible, our Father who art in heaven. Our Father. To be able to call God your heavenly Father because you know you are his child. But the Bible says for that to be a reality in our lives, the Lord Jesus said this, you must be born again. Today we've honored mums, and when mums give birth, they give birth to babies who are children of their parents. Friend, will you become a child of God? By saying, Jesus, I receive you today as my Lord and my Savior. You see, Jesus himself said you cannot have a relationship with the Father in his family without receiving Jesus as Lord and being born again, coming into the family of God. And that's a moment of belief that turns into a lifetime of relationship. For Sharon, she was 7 years old when she knew that she'd received Jesus as Lord. I was 19. Perhaps you can't put a date on it or a moment. That's fine, because some people are raised in strong Christian households. Some people aren't. Some people it's a journey. Other people it's an explosive encounter with God. Whatever it is, however your life has been, what is vitally important is this, that you know that you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And you know that you've given your life to him. So please, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you are here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know that today, if you were to die, you don't know whether you have eternal life or not. You don't know. You're just hoping. You guess, pray, wonder, well, I might be lucky. I might have just been good enough. Friend, it's not about being good enough. It's being a member of the family of God as an act of your will, led by the Holy Spirit. He's knocking on the door of your heart now saying, will you let me in? Friend, if you're here today and you know you need to receive Jesus for the very first time as your Lord and Savior because of what he did on the cross for you, or perhaps you're here today and you know God has been knocking on the door of your heart saying, you know what? You say you're a Christian, but you're not really living like one. You're not excited about your salvation. You're not stirred about spending time in relationship with your Father. You're not reading your Bible. You're not praying. You're not excited about the things of God. Perhaps that's a little bit of a sign that God is today saying, you need to come back to me. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you're in either of those two positions today, you need to come to God for the first time and say, Jesus, I receive you, or you need to come back to God. If that's you, with every eye closed and every head bowed, will you lift your hand in this auditorium right now, please? Awesome. God bless you. God bless you. Is there anybody else here today? Please, please don't leave this auditorium without knowing that you're coming back or coming to God for the first time. Is there anybody else here today? A number of people have responded. Is there anybody else? Please don't leave this auditorium today without knowing your eternity is settled with God. This is wonderful. Father, we want to thank you today, Lord, for the work you're doing on each of our lives and each of our hearts. And for some people, it's a moment today, Lord, to settle eternity. Let's all pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love me, that you've shown your love by sending your son Jesus to die on the cross to give me life. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord, my Savior, my friend. By the help of your grace and your power, I'll never be the same again. I receive eternal life in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God some praise today, shall we?